This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Melinda Pencava in Washington. This afternoon in Colorado, members of the public as well as trial lawyers will be able to give their views on a proposal that would allow jurors in criminal cases to ask questions during a trial. Now, if you've ever sat on a jury or watched a police drama on TV, you know those 12 members of the jury sit in silence throughout the trial, listening to both sides' arguments. This proposal would change that, at least in Colorado. What do you think of that idea? Should jurors be allowed to ask questions, or does that change the essential nature of being a juror and arriving at a decision? Did you ever wish you could have asked a question when you served as a juror? We're curious to hear what you have to say. Our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. The email address, TOTN at NPR.org. And joining us right now to talk about this new proposal in Colorado are Gus Guarino, who is Executive Director of the Colorado Criminal Defense Bar. He joins us from his office in Denver. Welcome, Mr. Guarino.
Hi, Melinda. Thanks for having me.
And Tom Munsterman, who is the Director of the Center for Jury Studies at the National Center for State Courts. He's with us from his office in Arlington, Virginia. Thanks for joining us, Tom Munsterman.
My pleasure.
Well, Mr. Guarino, I want to start with you first in Denver. How would this work in Colorado?
Well, the proposal that's been made is to, and Melinda, let me be clear, the proposal that I can address today is regarding criminal cases, not civil cases. That's it's a completely different area of the law, and it's a completely different set of concerns. But with regards to criminal cases, the proposal is that during a trial, and while a witness, in fact, is still testifying, the proposal has been made to allow jurors ask questions of the witnesses and of probably other participants in the trial while the trial is ongoing, and that would be a very big shift in their current traditional role as jurors.
So how would that work practically? You have the prosecution presenting its case, and there's cross-examinations going on, and then a juror raises his or her hand and says and asks a question right in the full court?
Well, that's in Colorado, they've had a couple of pilot projects go on, and my understanding of how those pilot projects worked is a number of procedures were created to sort of deal with this sort of question, and the way they worked it out, my understanding is that if a juror had a question, that juror would write that question down and then hand it to the bailiff, call over the bailiff, and then hand it to the bailiff, and the bailiff would go up to the judge, and then the judge would read it and then call the lawyers up to take a look at the question, and then the arguments would be heard between the two parties about whether or not that question should or should not be asked, and then the judge would make the call, should this question be asked, and then the judge would decide.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the judge, in fact, would ask the question. The juror would not ask the question, right, specifically of the witness.
Mr. Munsterman, you're against this proposal.
No, in fact, I'm for the proposal.
I'm against it.
It's Gus that's against it. And I think
I'm so sorry.
To clarify, and I think, and I haven't seen the wording for Colorado, but where I've seen this done, and many judges do this, is the jury's instructed at the beginning that if you have a question, please hold it till we have finished with a particular witness, and then you may submit it. And to tell them that the same rules of evidence will apply to their questions as apply to all other questions, and that the question may not be asked, perhaps it's inappropriate, or perhaps we know the answer will be forthcoming through another witness. So I think it puts the jurors on notice that if you have a question and it's something that's bothering you, by all means, write it down.
Mm-hmm. Now, why do you like that?
Well, I think, you just asked me a mm-hmm. question, and I think it's just the natural thing that we do to learn. And if jurors are going to learn the evidence, which is, I think, the role of the attorneys to present the evidence, and the role of the judges to educate the jury on the law, that the jury should be an active participant. And just because the question is not asked does not mean the question does not exist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Mr. Guarino, let me put the question to you. Why do you oppose this?
Well, I guess I fundamentally disagree with the way Tom's describing what goes on. I've never seen a judge instruct in any of the trials I've done in Colorado any of the jurors that you can ask questions after a witness is done, or we'll take your questions a little later. They're not. That's. I guess I would disagree with how what the jury is asked to do. It's the jury is not there to, in my mind, learn the evidence. The jury is there to answer the single question, and that question is, has the government proven its case beyond a reasonable doubt? And if the answer is no, then the verdict is not guilty.
So it's not necessarily a truth-seeking session.
No, not at all.
Though people might like to think that.
Right. That's a misconception, I think, is out there. And, you know, I think it's actually, Melinda, it's not just that they shouldn't be doing that. I think the question is bigger. Our justice system is based on the overall principle that the system is going to do justice. The jury is not there to give justice to anybody, really. I mean, they're there to do a very specific function, and that is to answer the question, has the government proven its case beyond a reasonable doubt?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bigger question is, has the system done justice? Has justice been served?
Right.
You know, it's much bigger than just does the jury do justice in a particular case?
Okay, let's go to Irma, who's in Columbia, South Carolina. Welcome, Irma.
Thank you. My concern with this proposal, I'm a former prosecutor and in private practice now, and I think the jury asking questions in the middle of the process shows that they are deliberating, and it gives the state an unfair advantage in tying up whatever loose ends, which could be very detrimental to the defendant.
Tom Munsterman.
Sure. I think the questions that we've seen, and we have several hundreds of questions that jurors ask, is you're expecting them to be lawyers, and they aren't lawyers. What they're wanting to do is to learn what you're trying to get across to them. Questions such as, what's a Jägermeister? What's a Big Five accounting firm?
Mm-hmm.
They want the facts, and if they're not getting them from the lawyers, shame on the lawyers. But if wouldn't you rather that they had this correctly than that they go into deliberation with these questions in mind?
Irma, I wonder if that might cut both ways, though, if a juror who, and I heard what you said about they shouldn't start the deliberations then, but people are human and they may start to be forming an opinion in their head. Couldn't that cut the other way, too, by the questions that they ask? Couldn't that help bolster the prosecution's case? And they know in their closing argument they have to hammer X point as well? And couldn't that help the defense as well to hammer a different point?
Well, I think the concern is that, you know, some questions may be totally off base, some questions may shift a burden, and I think the fact that the jury has a question may show that there's a weakness in the case, and they are there to judge the truth based on the evidence, and if all of the evidence is in line, they shouldn't have those type of questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I'll take the comment off the air.
Thank you so much for your call. Tom Munsterman, did you want to have another?
I think she's right, but unfortunately, jurors don't always hear, or attorneys say something that, or don't say something they thought they did.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if the jury, if there is a hole in what they've heard, they should, you know, why not permit them? Now, I don't think all questions are asked. A lot of them are, and when we talk to judges who permit questions to be asked, they're always very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a, gee, why didn't I think of that?
Right.
All questions are not asked because the judge is there to see that inappropriate questions are not, just as there could be objections to what might be asked of the witnesses by the attorneys.
And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We'll go to Chris in Philadelphia. Welcome, Chris.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I was recently on a jury back in September, my first jury duty assignment, and it was a criminal case in Philadelphia. And during one of the witness testimonies, it was the prosecution actually, you know, hearing the testimony of this witness, there was a point that was made that just really, really bothered me. I'm an English teacher, and the witness used the term, there goes the car. And
You didn't correct grammar, did you?
I'm sorry?
Okay. You did not correct grammar, did you?
Yeah, actually, I did.
Did you?
It was a major point for that because in the school that I teach and the kids that I teach, there's two meanings to that particular type of usage of language. One is, there goes the car in terms of it being stationary and in one place, and there goes your car in terms of how we would, or at least how I would use it in terms of the cars going by. And it was a carjacking case, and if the car had been in motion,
mm-hmm.
then the witness should have been able to identify who actually was driving the car, and then, you know, the case would have moved forward that way. But in point, the car was stationary, and I had to raise my hand and the judge looked at me rather quizzically, and I said, I have to ask this question, and is this okay? And she said, well, now, you're not the one trying the case here. And I said, I understand that, but this it's a really important point for me to at least get an understanding of what the witness is saying here. And she permitted it without even asking the prosecution or the defense attorney whether that was going to be okay. And strangely enough, when the prosecution was presenting the closing argument of the case, she stood right in front of me, and that was the closing point that she was trying to drive home, that in fact the car was seen in motion and this person was driving the car. And unfortunately, the testimony of all the witnesses and the plaintiff didn't really amount to much, and the case was let go, or the person was let go. But
so it was a win for the defense. The defense won there.
It was a win for the defense, and that had a lot to do with, I think they were two very young lawyers and just trying to flesh things out. Mm-hmm. But no one else on the jury, when we went back for deliberations, no one else had mentioned that point. And one of your guests said that, you know, when a question's out there, that sometimes I believe he said that it needs to be asked, or if it isn't asked, at least it's being thought about. And I just took liberties and raised my hand, and the judge was really kind of happy about that, and of course so was the prosecution attorney. Mm-hmm. Another point that I want to make really quickly is that something that's very difficult, and this was my first jury that I ever been on, one of the things that's very difficult is when both the defense and the prosecution are making their cases. In a criminal case, you cannot take notes, and that can be very difficult when you have to mull back through everything during deliberation.
Right.
Of course, you can ask for testimonies and things like this, but I think that really slows down the process, and when you've got things firing away in your brain and you're working in a group of 12 or 10, it's really kind of a difficult thing just to try and remember, now, wait a minute, I know that there was something here, but I can't really recall what it was. And not being able to take notes is kind of an issue, and I know there's some things in motion trying to get that taken care of. But asking questions, you know, I think that's one of the points, too, with not being able to take notes. If I'm not mistaken, it goes back to early on in our nation's history, where the prosecution would feel that if, and the defense as well, that if somebody's taking notes, then they're educated people and they might be able to sway the other members of the jury.
Well, I want to put that to Tom Musterman. Thank you for your call, Chris.
I'm sorry to take up too much time.
You did not.
I really enjoy your program.
Thanks a lot. Tom Musterman, what about that? Just a quick diversion on that issue.
I think he makes a very good point, and that is that poor Pennsylvania is one of the few states where jurors cannot take notes.
Okay.
It's quite common. When I myself was on a jury, we wanted to take notes and we couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spent all our time going back and writing down notes to try to get these issues cleared up in our own minds.
Oh, asking for transcripts of what had been said?
Well, that was not going to happen either.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. This was a short 2-day case. But I think, likewise, that jurors should be permitted to take notes.
Mm-hmm.
Take notes, submit questions under judge scrutiny, with proper instructions. All of this requires judicial training in the procedures and putting the jurors on notice as to what the procedure should be.
Right. And how many states currently allow questions to be asked? Colorado would not be the first, would it?
Oh, no. I know it's a difficult question because in most states it's in the discretion of the trial judge.
Okay.
There are only a few states that require the judge to instruct the jury, Arizona and now Colorado, if this goes through.
Uh-huh. I do have one question, though, about this asking of questions. What happens if a juror asks a question, Gus Guarino, and, say, the defense objects to it and the judge sustains it? And would that then have the juror thinking poorly of the defense for blocking the question to be asked?
I think that's a risk. I think that not only is that a risk, but there's also a risk of whether or not maybe the juror doesn't even get to know who makes the objection to that question. But what that does is that creates a sense of frustration because obviously the juror is doing something that the juror shouldn't be doing already, which is starting to form opinions,
But isn't that human when you're hearing a lot of evidence over the course of time?
It is, but when you go into a criminal case, you are, at least the way it is now, you go into a criminal case and you're asked to keep an open mind. You know,
mm-hmm.
the defense doesn't get to go first, the prosecution
right.
goes first, and so there's a lot of evidence that is presented. And so we implore the jurors to keep an open mind throughout the case.
And I think that's going to have to be your closing argument there because we've run out of time. Thanks, Wes Guarino. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Gus Guarino is Executive Director of the Colorado Criminal Defense Bar. He spoke to us from his office in Denver. And Tom Musterman is Director of the Center for Jury Studies at the National Center for State Courts. He joined us from his office in Arlington, Virginia. In Washington, I'm Melinda Penkava, NPR News.